Good morning and welcome to our panel discussion for this Wednesday, the 26th of August. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel and then we'll let you know how you can get in on the conversation and then we'll actually have a conversation. Let me begin with WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, there you go.
Hello. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning. And University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo joins us.
Good morning, especially to all the UAlbany students heading into classes for the first day today.
Nice.
As I was driving in through campus this morning, they look happy.
That yeah, won't last.
They do. They look really. I would say, Rosemary, they have a skip in their step.
Oh, my. Yeah.
They're all going to Rosemary's class.
Absolutely. They look very, very excited.
I do have a class later today, but I have to say that I and my fellow professors do not seem to be skipping and hopping into work.
No, maybe not.
But
they got a
over.
Whole like fair thing going on there. They have like this like jungle gym and a bouncy house and all stuff.
It's a party. They're going to get educated.
It's a party. They're going to get educated.
It's a party.
Yes. And speaking of party, you can't have a party without political consultant Libby Post. Good morning, Libby.
Ah, good morning, Joe. That's quite the story.
How are you?
I'm just ducky. How
excellent.
Are you?
I'm doing fine. Had another night at the Washington County Fair last night. I'm doing fine.
Why'd you do that?
Cotton candy.
Well, I'll probably go almost every night this week.
What?
Yeah, well, how much more? I mean, once you go once, what else is there to?
Yeah, you see one cow, you see them all.
No, that's not true.
Great
no,
because
you
watching.
Know the kids, you know the families, you got to visit the barns, you got to go through.
There are sheep that have never been sheared at this event.
I have to go. I was at the sheep shearing last night.
I think I'm going to join you.
Yeah, it's you come on over.
I would like that.
Also, that's where I met Kelly, so that was so that's sort of like our anniversary thing. That's sweet. I know.
Yeah. She was. Do you have to pay each time, or do you get?
No, we get a weekly pass.
Yeah, and
what was she doing at the fair?
She was doing PR for the fair. I was at a radio station doing a remote at the fair.
And how did you? Okay, let's hear it. How did you find each other?
I was doing the interview before the fair. She came at like 5 o'clock in the morning to do an interview for the fair. We met, and she said, oh, maybe if you come to the fair, I'll show you around. And she's been showing me around for 25 years.
I'm using this with my students. Good interviewing skills can get you a spouse.
That's right.
Did she ever confess whether she had her eye on you from the very beginning?
Yeah.
And what about you?
How could she not?
Once I went to the fair like that night. Well, here's the thing. You know what? I went to the fair. I didn't know. Well, maybe the interview, maybe not. But then when we went to the fair, we had a great time. And she was working, but she had a golf cart. She could bring me anywhere. It was awesome. And walkie-talkie and a golf cart.
Not food.
No, that's right.
That's amazing. But Joe, I just want to make it clear that I think that once the female of the species gets any male in their sight.
Watch out, Alan.
Oh, my God.
It's getting thick in here.
You are cooked. I mean, really, I tried to get Roselle, you know, to get her to go out with me. She wouldn't. And when I asked her roommate, she said, you know, he's too short. But then when she decided, that was different.
Who's shorter?
I mean, I have no idea, and I certainly don't know.
She is.
She's shorter than you are?
Oh, yeah.
By how much? A half inch?
About 6 or 7 feet.
A quarter of an inch.
All right. Well, enough of the origin story.
You would think the news was all good, judging by this beginning.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you, there's a story that we're watching, and we were just talking about it right before we went into break, and it is starting to... happened about an hour and a half ago in Virginia, southwestern Virginia. A news crew was out doing a fairly routine stand-up report, i.e. the crew is back at the studio. They throw it to a reporter and a camera person to talk to an individual for a live stand-up shot. And in this case, there were real shots fired, and both the reporter and the very young reporter and the very young cameraman both killed.
Oh, my God.
Awful.
We don't know the nature of the injuries to the third individual, who would have been the person who they were interviewing. We don't know who, if the person has been captured, who did the shooting, or if there was anyone on hand. So we,
or if
we
the, did, the reporters or the person being interviewed, which was the target.
Were the targets of that. Right. We don't know that.
But let's be clear.
We should be clear here also that it is, it's also very early. And also it is a,
I was just going to be clear that, you know, we need to just remember that guns don't kill people, but people kill people.
Well, right. We don't know.
It was sardonic, right?
Yes.
Yes. Just in case a few people didn't get it.
Right. With the, my tongue firmly planted in my cheek.
Gotcha.
And we, so there's a lot we don't know about this, and we don't know whether it was the nature. Oh, what I was going to say is that it, what we do know is that it was a fairly, it was a feature story. It was not a controversial
news
story that was that was going on.
It was
on
a tourism story from what I saw from the clip.
Yes. So, and yeah, there is some, video on, which is, fairly horrifying. It's not graphic, thank God, but it is rather disturbing. So, that is one of the things that we'll follow, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about over, the next 24 hours. So meanwhile, the big, story continues as far as the stock market goes, and, I know that our investigative reporter has been doing some in-depth work on this. The latest overnight is that the steep swings for Chinese shares, there have been steep swings for Chinese shares as global markets turn mixed. Yesterday, we saw an early bounce back, and then that started to dissolve and deteriorate throughout the day.
Yeah, I got a call last night from a friend saying, hey, did you see what the market did today? And I go, yeah, I'm so relieved. You know, it looks like it's okay. There was silence on the other line. I totally missed that last half hour when it again went into the tank, and today is going to be crucial. And so the attention now has turned to the Fed and whether or not it will, as it has promised but long delayed, institute a hike in interest rates. So my question was, why is it so important that they institute that hike right now? Why not put it off until December or even until next March? What would be the harm of it? And I do understand capitalism. I understand this is money to be made on borrowing. Yes, I get it. So banks would make more money and lots of other companies would too, and that could mean jobs in the long run. But isn't the idea that the global markets are in turmoil a pretty good excuse to delay that?
Well, there's a lot here that we don't really know about. I mean, you know, for example, you say the banks could make money. But the banks are still charging me several percentage points on my mortgage.
I was just
and they're getting the money for free themselves.
Right.
So one would think, you know, one would think they're making a lot of money, although as far
but
as
they could make more,
exactly.
Alan, right, if the interest rates went
exactly.
up. So the only thing that I can find out, the only reason that people put forward as to why the Fed must act in September is that its credibility would be injured if it delayed again. I find that really hard to understand.
Me too.
I don't see how.
You should have called in to Hugh Johnson yesterday on Vox Pop.
Really? I did miss a Vox Pop yesterday.
He was very good.
Did he answer that my question?
Very bright.
No, but there were a lot of other
in,
really good
questions.
Yeah.
I'll never miss it again.
But I truly believe in the concept of the invisible manipulative hand here, you know, that something's going on when... As I mentioned this morning, when the barrel of oil keeps going down and down and down and down and down, and
prices
the market price at the pump keeps staying the same. Something's happening. Are these banks too big to fail? Are they, as Bernie suggests, are they in a special class where they can do anything that they want? How much of what is going on in our economic system? You know, we always talk about, Rosemary, we always talk about transparency, right? We always talk about let's know. But we don't know until those characters walk into the room who's talking to who and what they're doing.
Just this sort of idle speculation, however, is the reason the Chinese government has put a clamp on its press from writing about it.
Yeah, good
which
point.
We want to talk about that story
good
as well.
Talk about transparent. Yeah. The Chinese government is whatever the opposite of transparent is, opaque. And you're
blackout.
Not seeing, and many people, much more, a bigger percentage, I guess, not just broad numbers, of the middle class in China invest in the market as we do here. And they have a great interest in it as we do. It's their life savings. It's their future. It's their children's future. And they don't know what's going on. So the fear
is my point of a few seconds ago is, do we know what's going on?
Yeah, I know. That's why I find that funny.
In my conspiracy theory,
yes, yes.
The deep reaches of my brain.
Did you say leeches of your brain?
Breaches. Oh, reaches. Or breeches, perhaps. Yeah. You know, I wonder if this dark hand, this invisible hand, isn't a oligarchic 1% of the 1% of the 1% in the United States trying to manipulate things so somebody with an R gets elected. You know, I mean, that's where my head goes. Now, I have no proof of that, so everybody out there, this is just my warped thinking about this, but, you know, our economy has been manipulated before for political reasons. And I just wonder how effective now some of these folks are at manipulating the world economy for political reasons back here at home.
Okay, I'm not ready to go that far. That's a stretch.
This is my political, you know, insanity talking.
Yeah, you have a kind of warped mind.
Yes,
here.
I think
was just going to say conspiracy theorist, not warped mind, but okay.
Yeah, well, I'm really not a conspiracy theorist, but it's just something that has passed my mind.
I understand that.
You know, what's happening in China? There's going to be an implosion and.
You wonder what forces
right.
are at
what,
work.
What is causing all of this?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is
a well. There's been a bubble in the. There's been a bubble in the Chinese economy
there's
for a
been
long
a bubble
time.
Here. People,
and what happened in 2008? What's happening in China is the same exact thing, long coming. The problem is that China is so inculcated in the economies of everybody else that it's having a global impact, just as ours did.
Well,
in
also everybody's bailing out. The right. problem is if everybody bails out, we're that makes sunk. their system worse. We've been told by Hugh Johnson and others, keep your money where it is, you know, don't panic.
I'm not doing anything.
And stay there. Yeah. But you're a young woman. I am an old man. And if somebody wanted, I may end up working in the Cumberland Farms as a result of this.
You'd make a great reader at Walmart.
But, you know,
but my mother, I just want to add this, Libby, and then I'll shut up. You know, I was saying, okay, I'll just sit there and do nothing, which is, as Alan pointed out yesterday, what else are the stockbrokers going to tell us?
You can't sell.
But I have a mother who's actually collecting the income out of that. Yes. What do I do about her right now?
Right.
My mother's not the only one of the advanced elderly.
Sure.
I pull her out because she can't afford to lose a whole lot?
Well, she has you, and you can support her.
Oh, great. Well, I'm pulling out the money, Mom.
Well, you know, the other part of this is that we were all so enthralled with the Dow, I guess it is, you know, being at over 17,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not going to last.
Yeah.
You know, there was a big celebration when it happened, and we stayed up there, and there's just no way that is going to last. Mm-hmm. I mean, we shouldn't go back down to 5,000 like we did, or 8,000 in 2008. But, you know, saying we're going to stay at 17,000, then we're going to go 18,000, 19,000, that's an artificial bubble that will come back to haunt us.
You know, I watch sometimes when I'm on the great bike, I watch CNBC, and they always have these guys on, you know, who are the big machers in the...
Right.
In the financial world. And they always say the same thing. Bubble, 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 bubble. It's going to go down. We're going to take a hit. This isn't going to last forever.
Right.
And sooner or later, they were going to be right.
Right. Yeah. If we all wait long enough, we all live long enough. That's the issue.
Yeah. Well, I got to live another 20 years to get this money back.
I do want to. I do want to get to.
That's an incentive.
We just have about two more minutes before the news break, and I do want to get to the Rosemary's point about China and the media being silent on this. After China's stock markets crumbled, prompting a global sell-off, People's Daily, the premier newspaper of the Chinese Communist Party, did not put it on their front page. In fact, it featured a report about economic development in Tibet, and indeed there was not a single reference to the stock markets throughout the entire 24 pages of the paper, which dwelled instead on the forthcoming 70th anniversary of Japan's defeat in World War II.
That was important, too.
The silence continued on Wednesday when the paper again did not report on the stock market upheavals. And so I guess, to your point, Rosemary, of how you find out this information and again know what's going on and how lucky we are that we even have the limited information that we have.
We can at least
but
discuss
somehow,
and worry about it in the open.
But somehow the word got spread. And somehow people found out about it and were constantly finding out about it. So they must have extra media awareness that is not the official organ of the Chinese government.
One would think. I mean, there are other papers.
And there's word of mouth.
Right.
This is just like Russia at the height of the Soviet era when the news was completely state controlled. Sure. People became expert at reading between the lines. So you can bet they know what's happening in the stock market. Most of them have money. They're affected, or their friends and their families are. So they know what's going on. And the fact that it isn't in the newspaper, that is in itself a message that they are reading.
We're gonna take a break. There is just an update on the story we talked about, that the New York Times is reporting that police are searching for a gunman, and police told authorities that there are three victims of the shooting, two that we know that were killed, so we don't know the state of the third. So again, we'll have more on that story, I'm sure, throughout the morning. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about many other news items. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel and our discussion this morning. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up the group this morning. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have other topics to discuss, but before we get to that, we will go through some letters.
Well, Corey says, this issue is not hard to understand. Look at the Austrian School of Economic Thought, which is the antithesis of John Maynard Keynes. Central banks print money and create credit out of thin air. This creates a misallocation of money in the market. It basically screws up the free market, and then when things go wrong, these banks and their politicians blame the free market and bail out their friends that made all the money during the central bank's artificial boom. If you wonder why the 1% is getting richer, then you should make it your mission to understand fiat central banks. They are the cause. The boom-bust cycle is a symptom, and that's from Corey. And Ken says... Tom Hartman's book should be a must-read. Large corporations, wealthy people, and banks are all making money simply by playing with money. This financialization of our economy is driving us to the edge of a massive crash. And we heard from Benta.
No.
That's right. Okay.
We'll have to read that one later, Libby.
It's just off. It's just on something else.
Something else again.
It's internal business.
Yes. Brendan says, thank you for that, Joe. Brendan says, love the show and always love to hear what Libby has to say, but please don't go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole too often. We've got some shady 1%ers, but as near as I can tell, they're not James Bond villains yet.
Yeah, no, I don't really go down the conspiracy theory hole too much. I really try not to.
Okay.
I couldn't help it.
Sure. And James said, everybody's forgetting to mention that the China bubble was huge.
Yes.
150% in 1 year, about. What market goes up that fast in that amount in this world? Normally it would never happen in this day and age. And Robert says, Libby's right about manipulation occurring. But it's the Saudis, not the Republicans, that are doing it. Saudi Arabia continued to pump as much oil as possible despite the supply glut to sabotage the U.S. energy independence efforts and squelch Iran's chances for getting a boost from selling oil after the sanctions are lifted. And nobody in authority is saying bio about it because they are our allies against ISIS. And that's from Bob. Let's see here. Andrew says... If we want to end volatility in the stock market, have a sliding capital gains tax starting at 95% if you hold a stock for less than a day. Uh-huh. And Jay says, Rosemary, what do you tell your students now that the Bureau of Labor projects that within 5 years, 40% of the entire American labor force will be contingent, freelance, on-demand workers and not by choice? It gets worse thereafter.
Tell them get lots of education and be prepared for at least 3 career changes in your life. Yeah. Something I never had to worry about.
Interesting. And for you, Joe, Patricia writes, the Washington County Fair. I spent Monday helping with set up the building in 24. Building 24, will be there all day, evening Friday. Great people, lots to see, and fair food.
Well, that's true.
Yum.
Yum. All right.
Okay, I think that's what I got.
All right, great. Thank you very much. We love your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's go on to other topics that we have to cover, and there are many. We talked about stocks, of course, and we talked about the Chinese and the media. Let's go to this issue, and then we can talk a little bit about Trump. But obviously, the Pope will be visiting the United States next month, just about a month from right now. And interesting article in Rolling Stone about LGBT Catholics disappointed on the eve of the Pope's U.S. visit. The coalition representing gay Catholic families told it's not welcome at church during significant world meeting. The world meeting is actually taking place in the city of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. I believe. And Pope Francis has received heaps of adoration from a comment he made in 2013. If someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? But now with this non-invitation to the world meeting of families, there is some great concern. His expression of gentle tolerance felt radical given the church's history with LGBT issues, and it stood in stark contrast to the Pope before him. Many in the church, and especially gay Catholic families, believe there should now be more.
I guess you're looking at me, huh?
I'm going to look at you.
Well, I'm not surprised that this happened. And I don't think they called the Pope for guidance on this. I think that this is part and parcel of the conservative Catholic way of doing things here in the United States that's characterized by our bishops and our cardinals. We see it all the time. We see, they're reeling from the pedophile scandal, and they have chosen time and time again to demonize the gay community around that and around other issues, around marriage, and try to deflect their responsibility in that scandal. You can just do a Google search on LGBT and Catholic cardinals or Catholic bishops and find heaps of articles where the church is totally dismissive of LGBT people, LGBT families, continuing to call us sinners, continuing to deny the validity of our lives. So I'm not really surprised that the cardinal, the bishop, whoever it was in Philly, disinvited people even after sort of saying, oh, sure, you can come. Kaput, I guess is his name, or Chaput.
Chaput.
I like Kaput better. And it's very hurtful for people who have a connection to their faith community, who want to be embraced by their faith community, to be shut out like this. And the United States Catholic Church just doesn't seem to get that it's time to open the doors and stop excluding people.
I just think it's just dumb as could be. Well, I mean, why would you do it? You have all this goodwill and all these people, saying good things about the Pope and his tolerance, and
they need
bringing
members.
People together. Bringing people together. And I just think it's ill-advised. Yeah. It's just not good.
Catholics just have a real problem with sexuality. It's not just homosexuality. It's even heterosexuality they have a problem with. They are horrible to women. I know we're going to hear from a lot of Catholics because they're also really thin-skinned. We're supposed to just accept that as part of their faith. But it's out of date, and it's offensive. It's the reason that I began to move away. It's that, I was a... my name came first, and I was smarter than anybody else yet. In Sunday school, I always came after Paul Laudy. Why is that? Why is that? Because men are superior to women. It's just
I didn't understand that. You always came after.
Yeah, they put you in alphabetical order, except boys had to go first. So AU came before AR.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
No wonder people don't know.
It bothered me when I was a child. I know. and abortion is a problem, yes. And celibacy for priests. How medieval is that? So you have a pope who at least can talk nice. That's such a huge step mm-hmm. forward. Church also is not known for a rapid change. It's a huge That's battleship. True. He is doing, I think, an amazing job, and he will bring about change, but it isn't going to be in less than a year. That's completely unrealistic.
And it's not necessarily only going to be on this
exactly.
issue. I mean, he has said the church needs to stop focusing on abortion and gay rights.
Yeah, he said they're fixated on
right,
it.
Right, right.
Of course,
more
because
important
they're crazy
things.
About
There are many more important things to do, and this is a church whose membership is dwindling.
Well, yeah, I don't know. The church has a problem with Mary Magdalene. You know, why was Jesus hanging out with the prostitute? They haven't figured that out yet. And Mary had to be a virgin when she had to have him as a baby. This is not an institution with a good idea about sexuality of any sort.
Or reality.
Or reality. But anyway. Sorry to offend all the Catholics out there.
How you doing, Joe?
No, I'm all right. I'm with you on some. I'm not with you on all of it. But I do have to say that what I don't understand is, especially when you have a conference where you're supposed to bring in a bunch of different ideas of mm-hmm. what hurts to say that you have this particular group and this particular ideology expressed at this conference.
Good point.
That to me, I don't understand. To me, it gets back to a much larger problem within the church, which is that if this were in a different diocese with a different archbishop. Then someone who is more tolerant, much like, let's say, the Pope, then this wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
And it's what many of us Catholics have ended up doing, which is shopping for a church that we find more acceptable, that we can pray and we can worship in a place where we don't feel like we're an outsider.
That's mm-hmm. interesting. Yeah, it's also horrible PR, Joe. You know, if you're just
absolutely.
Talking, we're having a conference, but everybody can't come. Yeah, how does that work?
Well, no, especially if when you're inviting millions of people are going to show up
right.
on Benjamin Franklin Parkway. And I mean, I was in Philly in June, and they're getting ready for this thing. I mean, they're building the infrastructure now for this. And I was there 20, well, however many years ago, almost 30 years ago. Well, okay, maybe it's more than that. 35. when they were Pope Paul John Paul II was in Philadelphia, and had an open mass, and you know, with millions of people showing up, what's wrong with having? That's what I don't get. And you're absolutely right. What about the PR aspect of it?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Couple it with what Libby said about this, the church in need of renewed membership.
They're not concerned about the PR aspect because they think they've got it all under control and that they're speaking to their flock who they think agrees with them. And that's the problem, is that the flock doesn't necessarily agree with them, because it's not just LGBT families that are being excluded here. But there's a message that if you, Rosemary, if your son was gay, you're not welcome here either.
Right. Right.
Okay?
Right.
And that's part of the problem mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about lighter issues. Not really. we'll be right back after this short break.
Let's find one.
Support for WAMC comes from Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts and service to customers throughout western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, boydenandperrin.com. Community Loan Fund of the Capital Region, offering an 8-week business planning class beginning Saturday, September 19th at the College of St. Rose in Albany, mycommunityloanfund.org. And the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting the Pine Bush Perspectives, a juried photo exhibit, accepting photographs of the preserve from visitors, albanypinebush.org.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. So we have some letters, and then we'll move on to our final topics.
Okay. We did hear from Joseph, who says Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. That's what he said.
Okay.
Then he says a lot more,
and
but
Mary
I can't
wasn't
read
a virgin
all
either.
Of those lines have been sort of mushed together. You know how that happens sometimes?
Yes.
And Clifford says, dear Roundtable panel, during periods of market volatility, anyone who invests their retirement savings is likely to experience a fear of longevity risk, meaning the risk of outliving their money. It is true that volatility in the capital markets and the corresponding effects on invested retirement savings have a direct correlation to individual lifestyle sustainability. The sequence of market returns during the early years of distribution have the greatest effect on that portfolio duration. This means that a bull or bear market during the early years of distribution from requirement accounts may make all the difference to how long retirement savings last. And then it goes on, and then he goes on, but it's way too long. Thanks.
Yeah, that's the conventional wisdom. Start early, save from the time you're 30, mm-hmm. stay in the market, diversify. But what about people who are right now retired living off that money? The way I read that is it shouldn't be invested.
Yeah,
put it in passport savings.
This guy's
savings.
Also mad at me for kidding around about retirement and that I can't retire. And he says, you're disingenuous, you can retire. If you want to. That's true.
Sure, anybody
he's
can.
Right.
Just...
Well, no, he's right. I mean, you know, I was just having fun.
Right. And, and in the face of this, if you can't laugh and have a little levity, you'll go out and, jump off a bridge. So
there are what we call in the society, if you say it, no matter how sardonic or sarcastic you're being, you meant it.
Yeah. Well.
And there's some people that there's a little switch in their head that they're not able to.
They're very black and white.
To do that, right. Question for Libby. Please explain how the mother of a gay person is excluded too. No doubting you, just that it was stated without explaining. From Dan.
Well, if the statement is LGBT families are not welcome here, and if a mother or a father embrace their gay children and consider themselves to have LGBT family members and are part of a greater LGBT family because they might have grandchildren who are progeny of a gay couple or a lesbian couple or a transgender couple, that's why. Because if you love your kids and you embrace the fact that they're part of the LGBT community, it doesn't matter if you consider yourself LGBT or not. When somebody says your son, your daughter is not welcome here, you feel it too.
And just for clarification, in the article that we passed around that I sent out last night from Rolling Stone, specifically there was a group of LGBT parents and family members who wanted to be a part and who are involved in this controversy. Okay. So that's where that comes from.
Yeah, that was definitely, you cannot both be a member of the church and embrace its precepts and accept your child fully. That's like approving of their degraded lifestyle, Libby.
What's more important? I mean, the church is asking people to make, the church says, we're put here to procreate and have children. And then if the children are not the way the church thinks they should be, then you shouldn't love your child. That's basically the message.
That is the message, you're right.
And that's disgusting. And it is so anti-family.
So Patsy says, good morning. Did I miss a discussion of the horrible shooting incident this morning? A report on the person being interviewed was shot and killed in Virginia. Yes, you missed it.
It wasn't the person killed. We don't know. The two reporters.
May they rest in peace, the gun culture, says Patsy, continues its deadly swath, as always.
Right.
Okay. And I grew up as Catholic, says Joan, and now at 70, an agnostic-leaning atheist. I agree totally with Rosemary.
Sounds like my story.
Yeah. David says, I recently visited my mom's family in Budapest, Hungary, and we went to a Reformed temple, and the Jewish community in Hungary is coming back as well as in wider Europe. But they are very open to LGBT, and it was a very open and welcoming experience, which is
That's
interesting.
Great.
You know, there are just so many things that will keep coming up. I was thinking about Angela Merkel this morning, you know, and there was a huge rally coming down hard on immigrants. And she stood up and she reminded those people of, in not so obscure ways, of the Nazi times. And that really, we don't dehumanize people. We don't, you know, I thought that was extraordinary for her.
We could use that here. Instead, we have Trump saying they're all rapists and criminals.
Right. I'm looking forward to going to Germany when we're in Europe in November to see. And to experience that, because everyone has told me
you'll find it
welcoming.
Here's one I don't think you're going to like, Lily.
Okay.
It says, it's from our friend Michael, who writes quite often, the sinners were Jesus' flock. They are the ones who are most in need of salvation. They are the ones that should be invited first. So the premise here is...
Oh, please.
You are sinners, but you should be welcome.
Yeah, I'm Jewish, so I really don't care.
Okay, and so here's somebody, Mark, who writes quite frequently. He wants a fifth major subject, and that's stock market for 12 years. In other words, that people, you're going to have to live with that. Your whole life is going to be tied up with it. I think it's a decent idea, maybe not for 12 years of stock market class, fifth major.
Oh, you mean to be, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think financial literacy should be part of.
Absolutely.
Of elementary and secondary school.
Forget algebra.
Yeah. I know. What do you, f of x, what does that do for you? I'd would have been better if I learned how to balance my checkbook.
I didn't know that, but tell me how to balance my checkbook.
Well, geometry is important because you can tell how big the pine tree on your land is. By just measuring the shadow, you know what I mean?
Oh, this is true.
Okay, all right. And then
but I'm not too worried.
Tom says, and I love this, Tom watches us every day on the thingy, you know, the thingy.
The thingy.
Right. And he says...
the web stream for
and
those
Joe,
of
you. Course, is very taken to Hawaiian shirts. And Tom says, has Joe been in Hawaii?
Yeah. Been wearing these all summer long.
Every day.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
We should note the Dow was up 400 points and S&P 500 up 2%.
Don't blink.
As global markets stabilize.
We have to watch every minute.
We don't know what's going to happen by the end of the day, but that's where we are right
we
now.
We have CNN on in the office all day long. So every time I walk by the kitchen, I just check. And you know, yesterday was like a roller coaster.
Oh. All right, we are just about out of time, but go ahead.
Okay, Greg says, love the frank, hard-hitting, important criticism of the Catholic Church's positions on women and LGBT people on the roundtable today. Thank you, roundtable speakers Rosemary and others, for speaking out candidly and honesty. That was great. And then we heard from Sarah. Talking of media, you and CNN and MSNBC are telling me people were killed in Virginia. My journalism teacher would say, be specific. We don't know anything.
That's the whole point. It just happened.
Yeah. Right.
Details are coming in.
The names of the victims, of the two victims, of the reporter and the cameraman, have been released, while the third... the interviewee, while I'm sure was known to that audience, has not been identified in the press reports that I have seen.
Okay, and Cynthia wants to know what the Rolling Stone article you sent out to panelists was.
We can put it up on the website and put a link to it. It's an article about the Catholic
the Pope's
Church.
Visit.
Yeah,
and
right.
also
LGBT Catholics disappointed on eve of liberal Pope's U.S. visit.
We've also had several compliments for the way that our wonderful board op is playing the music.
Rob Chacon doing a fine job in the music this morning.
Right, and that's way to
put it. I have to say, I was interested in on Tuesday there was an in-house band doing music for Morning Edition at NPR, and they were talking about that fact, and they said that I have something like. 58% of the mail that they get is about the stories, and the other percentage, what's left, is about the music they play between the stories.
Now, you know, I'm on a list called I try to forward it to you guys. It's called the A-Reps list.
Yeah.
That's the head of every, you know, station. And the station heads got really furious about that band, Joe, because they said, this is a news station. This isn't a music station. And like that. People get excited about...
Calm down.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Music is the essence of our lives.
It's the band was
food is the
Yo La Tenga.
Yeah, that's right.
Yo La Tenga. Who will be on our program tomorrow, we should note, as well.
So oh, that's great.
Yo La Tenga.
That's great. Yo La Tenga.
Tango. T-E-N-G-O.
Oh, Tango.
Yes.
Okay, so... and so I think was suggested that Trump... and Fox News may have created their feud just to get attention for Trump and skyrocketing ratings for Fox. What do you think about that? Who knows?
I think the two of them deserve it. The fact that a candidate and the head of a major network are sitting down to discuss how he will be covered and what questions will be asked. They're both committing sins.
Well, Roger Ailes is a political operative.
I know, but he's running a network. I know. He certainly isn't operating like one, is he? It's horrible.
No, I think they deserve each other, actually.
I think the vacation for Megyn Kelly was ridiculous. His Twitter, Trump's Twitter attack on her is ridiculous. Okay, I'll shut up.
Okay. But you don't have to, I mean, I love hearing you.
I'll keep talking.
But we're out of time.
We're out of time.
We'll be back.